Word of mouth.
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 Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. It is the most frequently quoted economic indicator, and yet, what is GDP? Like many people, I could tell you that it stands for gross domestic product, but not what it does and doesn't measure. How reliable is it? For a statistic used in virtually every economic conversation, it appears that the true meaning of GDP is anything but clear. We wanted to make sure that we weren't the only ones scratching our heads, so we sent Taylor Quimby onto the street to ask people what they know about GDP.
Do you know what GDP is?
GDP?
GDP. Gross domestic product? I'm not sure.
Can you give me a hint?
Gross domestic product?
Domestic.
Policy?
Gross domestic product?
It involves economics, if I'm correct, right?
Now, do you know, like, how they come up with it, or like what it means, or what it actually is?
No, not really.
Isn't it how much we make within the United States, earn like profits?
The average earnings of businesses? I don't know. You tell me.
Off the top of my head, I can't remember. But yeah, I know the general. I was able to do it on my test last week, but.
Oh, I don't know all that. I have no idea.
So given how much GDP gets bandied about in politics and TV news and reports on the economy, maybe we should know a bit more. With us is economist Diane Coyle, author of GDP, A Brief But Affectionate History. Hello, Diane.
Hello.
So what is GDP? Did we got it right? Gross domestic product?
Gross domestic product is right, and it is the total sum of all the activity in the economy measured in dollars. So it's a single aggregate measure of how well the economy is doing.
Do you happen to know how much the US gross domestic product is currently?
I don't. For the US, I can tell you for the UK, £1.6 trillion. But it's not actually a very interesting number, is it? We're more interested in how quickly it's growing, because that's what affects people's job prospects.
When and why was the GDP indicator created?
It dates back to the 1930s in the form that we know it, and was a product of the Great Depression, when for the first time people expected the government to do something about it when the economy was doing very badly, and the government of the day realized it didn't actually have a measure to help it set policy or give it any guide. It knew how many banks were failing and how much steel was being produced, but not the total. And then the Second World War took over. There was a great need for the US and the UK to understand the productive capacity of the economy, and also what kind of sacrifice consumers were going to have to make to sustain the war effort. And there was a great debate at the time about, should we try to measure the activity of the economy and how much it could produce, or should we try to measure instead how well off people felt in some more fundamental sense? And that debate was won by measuring the economy, because that was the need of the war. But that debate has come back now, and there are lots of questions about whether it is actually the right kind of measure for the government and policymakers.
Well, it seems much easier to count numbers than quality of life. How is GDP calculated for a country like the U.S.? I mean, one can kind of imagine a very, very, very long line of columns on one side of a very big spreadsheet.
It's very complicated, and the handbook that guides statisticians is well over 800 pages long. Hmm. But essentially, they're collecting figures from all the different industries that make up the economy: haircuts, manufacturing cars, legal services, meals out in restaurants, the whole lot, done by collecting surveys, and they have to all be added up together and combined into one single number. And it's a very complicated process.
Who's doing the work?
There are official statistical bodies in every country around the world, and the ones in the US and the UK are the leading ones. They do the best quality work, and so they put a lot of resource. It's one of the main activities that they carry out.
When we hear economists talk about GDP, it often sounds very stable, very fixed. How much of it is actually guesswork? I mean, how can you figure out how many people are getting haircuts and paying for them?
There is a lot of guesswork and uncertainty involved in it. There is the kind of measurement error, because it is very difficult to know exactly how many haircuts are being delivered in the economy every year. There are the uncertainties about how much things change from season to season. The fact that a quarter of all books are sold in the month before Christmas is a predictable variation. You're much more interested in abstracting from that. People want to adjust for changes in price and quality. So, for example, a computer that you spend $1,500 on today would be much better quality than one that you bought for the same price 5 years ago, so they want to make that kind of adjustment too. And there are all sorts of judgments about what goes in and what stays out. Famously, housework, because it isn't sold at a market price, mm-hmm. doesn't go into GDP, but you know, you'd say that was a very important activity in the economy.
The idea that values are assigned leaves the GDP question open to conspiracy theories. At least that's something that we've heard a lot of here in the U.S., that those numbers aren't accurate, that there is a real GDP or it's not a measure of true inflation. Any thoughts on that?
I think that misunderstands the way to think about the economy. People have this idea that there is a true number, and it's like measuring the height of a mountain or the length of a river, and you can get more and more accurate about it. It's actually much more of a judgment about what you want to try to measure. So if you're only interested in the dollar value spent, then you wouldn't need to try to make any adjustments for inflation. But if you are interested in inflation and in real living standards, then there is actually a debate to be had, and people can take different viewpoints about, are you adjusting for those quality changes in computers and electronic goods, or are you not? So it's really a question of thinking about the purpose of what you want the numbers for.
You give a terrific example of how the way that GDP is calculated can have huge implications on its outcome. Can you tell us about the GDP of Ghana, which recently flipped?
Yes, and there was an even more recent example in Nigeria. A lot of statistical offices in low-income countries don't have the same capacity to keep the figures up to date that we do in the US and the UK. And in particular, keeping track of what are the important industries in the economy. So every 5 years or so in the US, the statisticians will change the weights on the different industries to come up with a total number, because we're not making horse-drawn carriages anymore, so they've got a zero weight these days and they didn't write at the start. In some African countries, that hasn't been done for many years. So in Ghana and recently in Nigeria, they introduced for the first time the figures for the movie industry, the figures for the mobile phone sector, and that took Ghana's GDP up by 60% overnight and Nigeria's up by 89% overnight. So their economy was almost twice as big as they had said the day before. And of course, nothing real changed. People were as well off as they had been the day before or not. But the measure of GDP was completely transformed by this exercise.
We're speaking with the economist Diane Coyle. She's visiting research fellow at the University of Oxford's Smith School of Enterprise and the Environment. And we're talking about the economic indicator we hear about all the time, but may know very little about, GDP, gross domestic product. Well, you heard our producer, Taylor Quimby, out on the street trying to find out how much people know about GDP. Now, he did talk to one gentleman who was quick to say why he thought GDP was a bad indicator of economic health. Let's hear what he had to say.
Everything adds to GDP. You know, a hurricane destroys a bunch of buildings, kills a bunch of people. That adds to GDP. You know, World Trade Center blew down. That increased the GDP of New York substantially. It cost a lot of money. Put that building back together, you know. There's other indicators. There's gross domestic happiness, I think, is there some sort of happiness indicator, which is based more on quality of life, how expensive things are for you, how much access you have to services in your country and your community. And, you know, obviously I think it's a better indicator. You'll find places like Sweden are a lot better, even though they have much smaller GDPs, much more enjoyable to live there. Yeah.
Well, Diane Coyle, whether you prefer Sweden to the U.S. is not really the question, but let's talk about where GDP does fall short, what it doesn't measure or the things that it does calculate might be important when we're considering the economic health of a nation.
I think there were some great points just made there. GDP does simply what it says. It measures in dollars the value of economic activity. So if there is a natural disaster and there is rebuilding going on, that increases GDP. Right back at the beginning, Simon Kuznets, who was one of the fathers of the figures, argued that advertising should be excluded because it didn't contribute to anybody's well-being. But of course, dollars are spent in the industry, so that's in GDP as well. So there are all kinds of things that are in there that we might want to exclude if we're thinking about people's well-being. But there are also things that are not in there that we would want to include, and mainly that's the importance of innovations. Nathan Mayer Rothschild, who was the richest man in the world at the time, died from a tooth abscess because antibiotics hadn't been invented. The value to people's lives of inventing a new medicine like that is never captured by adequately by the dollar value of what gets spent on it. Now we have all kinds of new digital inventions, and their value too is almost certainly not captured by GDP.
I was curious about that. How do you value things that you find on the web? I mean, YouTube
A lot of it's free. So
right, it is, exactly. So how do you assign a meaningful price when no price is asked?
Well, the fact is that you can't, and so that gets undercounted. If you want to use it to measure people's well-being, then you need to think about a different approach and a different kind of statistic.
I guess another question comes up for me. If GDP measures prices, it must be difficult to calculate in a global supply chain. You know, you buy an iPhone, but the components are coming maybe from four different countries, rare earth metals from China or Peru, or the battery from some other place. How do all of those contributions get calculated when the final price is paid at a US or UK Apple store?
Well, again, that's not well covered by the current statistics that we have. There are some new statistics that try to take out the separate components of those global supply chains. And they would make a big difference to looking at the US-China trade imbalance, for example, because a lot of the components that are assembled in China are imported from other countries like South Korea or Germany or Japan. And economists are just beginning to work with those figures and understand them. But GDP is a national concept, and we have a global economy now. So that's another way in which the current statistics don't actually map well onto the questions that we might want to ask.
So what do we do? A revised GDP that takes some of these other things into account?
Well, no, I would say not, because that GDP concept is useful for some things. And as long as you don't try and use it for anything else, that's okay. But I think we need to work better at understanding global flows and also at understanding the different components of people's well-being. One simple thing is to look at GDP per capita, which economists rarely do, but also look at the things that we know contribute to people's welfare, like unemployment is a very obvious one. But also in Scandinavia, you'd be concerned about work-life balance or the role of women in the workplace. Why not measure those things directly if you think they're important policy questions?
I'm guessing because the answer is because it's easy to throw out a number like the GDP that gets calculated and thrown out by the media, thrown out by politicians. Do you think we're setting too much store by GDP? And if that's going to hurt us, hurt our economic future?
I think we are. Because we've got into the habit of thinking it's the one that matters. And so there's this ritual when the figures come out and everybody obsesses about whether it's 0.2 or 0.3 without remembering that the uncertainty around the figure is bigger than the number itself. And I think we just need to break the habit. And part of that will be having the national statistical agencies start to work on collecting other kinds of data. How much natural resources are being used and what does that imply for future growth? Let's concentrate on jobs and long-term unemployment. And I think there is some hope of getting the debate to move on to that, because I never really quite understand why politicians want to claim the credit for GDP, which they don't control, when they get the blame when it all goes wrong. And so there is some hope, I think, that if we work on other ways of using different statistics, we can move the conversation on.
Economist Diane Coyle, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. It's been great talking to you.
Diane Coyle's new book is called GDP, A Brief But Affectionate History. You can find more on the book at wordofmouthradio.org. You can also follow us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wordofmouthradio, or on Twitter at wordofmouth. When Word of Mouth continues, one of those thriving service markets that is difficult to tally into the GDP, the tattoo business. You need disposable income to get one and a canny eye to draw a good one. A tattoo artist in a preppy enclave after the break.